Here's a question for you. If your GPS went dark right now, mid-flight, 50 miles from home, could you get back? Not just point at something that looks familiar, I mean actually work it out. True course, wind correction angle, magnetic heading, ground speed, estimated time en route. Could you do that right now? From memory, I'm pattern on traffic pattern, here on Radio Hangar, and today we are going back to basics. The kind of basics that your check ride tests you on once and then disappears from your training, but the kind that actually matter when the avionics decide to go dark at the worst possible moment. Before we get into it, quick thank you to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the journey. First solo, private pilot, instrument, commercial, they've got you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter. aviationsoul.com. Now, dead reckoning. That phrase has been around since before aviation existed. Sailors used it before GPS, before Loran, before VORs, before radio navigation of any kind. If you wanted to get somewhere, you figured out where you were. You figured out where you were going. You did the math, and you flew the numbers. That is dead reckoning. The name comes from deduced reckoning, which got shortened over centuries of use at sea. You deduce your position based on a known starting point, your heading, your speed, and the time elapsed. If you know three of those, you can work out the fourth. And if your math is good, you know where you are. Here is something I wish someone had told me when I was training. Dead reckoning is not a backup skill. It is the foundation. The GPS sits on top of it. The GPS just does the math faster and more accurately than you can in your head. But if you do not understand what the GPS is doing, you cannot catch it when it is wrong. And GPS can be wrong. We have talked on this show about outages, solar interference, signal disruption. But I'm not even talking about exotic failure modes. I'm talking about something as simple as flying in an area where you have loaded the wrong waypoint, or a database that has not been updated, or accidentally entering a frequency into your flight plan when you meant to enter a waypoint identifier. These things happen, and if you have been following the magenta line without understanding the underlying navigation, you are in trouble the moment it disappears. So let's walk through this together. From the beginning, every cross-country flight starts with a chart, a sectional chart. You have a departure point and a destination. The first thing you do is draw a line between those two points. That line is your true course. True course is measured in degrees from true north, not magnetic north, true north, the geographic North Pole. And there is a meaningful difference between the two, which is why this step matters. The Earth's magnetic field does not run perfectly through the geographic poles. There is a difference between where a compass actually points and where true north is located. That difference is called magnetic variation or declination, and it changes depending on where you are on the planet. On your sectional, you will see isogonic lines. Those are the curved dashed lines running roughly north to south, with a degree value printed on them. They show you the local variation, where you are flying determines the value you apply. East of the agonic line, which is the zero variation line, you subtract. West, you add the memory phrase, is east is least, west is best. Least means subtract from true to get magnetic. Best means add. So, if your true course is 080 degrees and you're flying in an area with 10 degrees west variation, you add 10. Your magnetic course is 090, simple math, but you have to do it deliberately. You cannot skip it and assume the GPS handles it automatically. It does, but you should know exactly why. Now the wind.
This is where it gets genuinely interesting. The wind forecast you pull from your pre-flight briefing, whether that is from ForeFlight, Garmin Pilot, 1-800-WX-Brief, or the Aviation Weather Center website, gives you direction and speed at various altitudes. That direction is always reported in degrees true, always. So when you are doing wind correction math, everything stays in the true north world until you have solved for your heading, and then you apply variation to convert. Pull out your E6B. I know, some of you are laughing right now. Some of you have not touched your E6B since your private pilot written exam, and you're not sure where it even is, but that circular slide rule, the whiz wheel, is one of the most useful tools in your flight bag. Not because it is faster than your iPad, it is absolutely not faster than your iPad, but because using it forces you to think through the numbers, it forces you to understand what is actually happening to your aircraft in the air. Here is how you use the wind side of the E6B. You have a rotating compass rose and a sliding transparent grid. You are solving for two things, your wind correction angle and your true ground speed. First, rotate the compass rose until your true course is at the top, under the index mark. Then mark a dot on the center line at a distance equal to your true airspeed. For a Cessna 172 flying at 3,500 feet on a standard day, your true airspeed might run around 115 knots. Mark that dot, now set the wind direction. At the top of the compass rose, say the winds aloft forecast shows a wind from 270 degrees at 15 knots. Rotate the wind direction to the top, slide the grid until the center dot sits on the 15-knot wind line above center. Now rotate back to your original true course at the top. Look at where your marked dot has moved. If it shifted left of center, you need a left correction. If it shifted right correction, the distance it moved laterally gives you the correction angle. And read your new ground speed off the center line. That is the speed over the ground you will use for all your time calculations. Say your wind correction angle comes out to 7 degrees, right? You add that to your true course to get your true heading. Apply variation to get your magnetic heading. That is what you set on your heading indicator. Now you calculate estimated time en route. Distance divided by ground speed gives you time in decimal hours. Multiply by 60 to get minutes if the leg is 85 nautical miles, and your ground speed is 102 knots, that works out to just under 50 minutes. You write that down. You write down the time you expect to be over each checkpoint along the route, and when you cross each one, you note the actual time and compare. That is the core loop of dead reckoning. Predict, observe, compare, adjust. Now, let me tell you about something that happened to a student of mine a few years back. I will not use his name, but he was a solid student, good stick and rudder, good situational awareness in the pattern. He was ready for his solo cross country, filed his plan, launched, and about 40 minutes out his panel mount GPS went dark. Just quit. He had his phone in a kneeboard mount, but the mount slipped and he could not really see the screen. He knew roughly where he was because he had been looking outside, but he had not been actively calculating anything. He had not been tracking his position against time. He had not been watching the clock against his checkpoints. He found his way back eventually by recognizing a water tower he had seen on a training flight months earlier. Lucky break, and he knew it. He landed, walked into the office, and the first thing he said was that he needed to learn dead reckoning for real. Good instinct. Here is what that cross country should have looked like with the dead reckoning mindset built in from the start. Before departure, identify your checkpoints, not just waypoints in the GPS, actual visual checkpoints on the sectional chart. A town, a highway interchange, a distinctive reservoir, a tower. Pick them roughly every 10 to 15 miles, which at cruise speed is about every 8 to 10 minutes of flight time. As you fly, you call out each checkpoint as you pass it. Note the actual time. Compare it to your estimate. If you're early, your ground speed is higher than planned. Maybe the winds shifted in your favor. If you are late, the opposite, and you should revisit your fuel numbers. You are building a continuous picture of where you are in time and space. Every checkpoint is a reset. Every checkpoint says, here's exactly where I am. Here is what I expect next. If the GPS goes dark after checkpoint 3, you know you are a few miles past checkpoint 3 on a magnetic heading of such and such, at a ground speed of roughly this, and checkpoint 4 should appear ahead of you in about 9 minutes. You can manage that situation. That is a solvable problem. Compare that to following the magenta line for 45 minutes without any active awareness, and then having it go dark. You have no idea where you are. That is a very different situation. The Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate require that you demonstrate navigation by pilotage and dead reckoning, and the examiner is looking for exactly this kind of active awareness. Not just the ability to point at a landmark after the fact. The ability to predict where you will be, note when you arrive there, and recognize when the numbers stop matching your plan. I want to talk about altitude selection for a moment, because it is part of the same planning discipline. When you are flying VFR at 3,100 feet or above, the hemispherical rule applies. Magnetic course 0 through 179, odd thousands plus 500. Magnetic course 180 through 359, even thousands plus 500. So if you're flying eastbound with a magnetic course of 090, you fly at 3,500, 4,500, 5,500, or higher odd, plus 500 altitude. Westbound even plus 500. That rule also factors into your wind correction planning, because the winds aloft forecast gives you forecasts at specific altitude levels, 3,000, 6,000, 9,000, 12,000, and so on. If you're flying at 4,500, you interpolate between the 3,000 and 6,000 forecasts. It is not complicated, but you have to do it consciously. Now let me give you the mental checklist for building a real dead reckoning cross-country plan. First, draw your route. Not just tap your destination into ForeFlight and let it route you. Look at the actual line between your departure and destination. Know what is under it. Terrain, controlled airspace, restricted areas, populated areas, emergency landing options. Second, identify visual checkpoints at regular intervals. Write down what you expect to see and when. Third, calculate true course. Apply variation. Get your magnetic course. Fourth, pull the winds aloft forecast for your planned altitude. Run the wind correction. Get your wind correction angle, your magnetic heading, and your ground speed. Fifth, calculate estimated time en route leg by leg. Total the flight. Sixth, calculate fuel required. Use your actual fuel burn numbers for that aircraft, not just the pilot's operating handbook estimate. Add your reserve. Under Federal Aviation Regulations Part 91, you need enough fuel to reach your destination and fly for 30 minutes additional at cruise power in daytime conditions. 45 minutes at night. I plan for a full hour of reserve on any cross-country, personally. The regulation is the legal floor, not the safety ceiling. Seventh, brief your alternates. Know where you will go if your destination goes below minimums, or if you hit an unexpected fuel situation, or if something just does not feel right. Here's the thing about dead reckoning that I keep coming back to. The pilots who fly long careers without incidents are not the ones with the best avionics. They are the ones who maintain active situational awareness through every phase of every flight. The GPS supports that awareness. It is not a replacement for it. If you have not touched your E6B since your written exam, pull it out this week, grab a sectional, and pick two airports. Plan a route, do the wind correction by hand, calculate the time. Do it from scratch, it takes 20 minutes, and it is worth more than another hour flying with the autopilot on. My sources today are the FAA Airplane Flying Handbook, Chapter 12 on Cross-Country Flying, the Airman Certification Standards for the Private Pilot Certificate, and the FAA Pilot's Handbook of Aeronautical Knowledge, all of which are free downloads at faa.gov. More at radiohangar.com. I'm Pattern. Know where you are.